A lion in a circular strip of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The stamped image of a black lion on a light grey background. In red lettering, DEG, De Laurentiis Entertainment Group. The screen goes black. A rich blue background resembling crushed velvet. The background undulates as if stirred by a breeze. De Laurentiis Entertainment Group presents a David Lynch film. Blue Velvet. Starring Kyle MacLachlan, Isabella Rossellini, Dennis Hopper, and Laura Dern. With Hope Lang, Priscilla Pointer, George Dickerson, Francis Bay, Ken Stovitz, Brad Dourif, Jack Nance, and Dean Stockwell. Executive producer Richard Roth. Production designer Patricia Norris. Music composed and conducted by Angelo Badalamenti. Sound designer Alan Splett. Edited by Duane Dunham. Director of Photography, Frederick Elms. Screenplay by David Lynch. Produced by Fred Caruso. Directed by David Lynch. The blue background fades into bright blue sky. Red roses grow beside a white picket fence.
She wore blue velvet.
A fireman stands on the footplate of a red fire engine as it trundles slowly down a pleasant, leafy suburban road. He waves and has a Dalmatian on the footplate with him.
From the stars.
A lollipop woman sees children across a road. The picket fence fringes a pretty, white clapboard house with a veranda.
Bluer than velvet were her eyes.
In the lush garden of the house, a man wearing a trilby and sunglasses waters the lawn. He's middle-aged and has a slight paunch. Inside the house, a grey-haired woman sits on a sofa drinking coffee while she watches TV. On TV, a hand points a gun. Out in the garden, the man's hosepipe has become twisted around a branch, interrupting the flow. Backed-up water pressure is building in the tap, which spurts. As the man pulls at the hosepipe, he suddenly claps his hands to his neck and collapses on the ground. He writhes. A toddler stumps from the house towards the lawn and sees the man lying on his back. A brown and white Jack Russell Terrier plays with the water jet, which shoots out of the hose the man is still holding. Water sprays onto the grass. A close-up image of the blades of grass. They move as if something's traveling through the shadowy area beneath them. A seething mass of beetles beneath the grass. Their carapaces are black and shiny. A 1950s-style billboard with a smiling blonde woman on it. The board reads, "Welcome to Lumberton."
It's a sunny, woodsy day in Lumberton, so get those chainsaws out. This is the mighty WOOD, the musical voice of Lumberton. At the sound of the falling tree, it's 9:30. There's a whole lot of wood waiting out there, so let's get going.
A dark-haired young man walks through a field surrounded by trees. He's wearing a dark suit. The young man picks up a stone and throws it half-heartedly towards a small wooden hut which has old tires and junk outside it. The young man walks on. Cars travel up and down broad, undulating streets. In a hospital, a nurse pulls back the curtains from around a bed.
Mr. Beaumont? Your son Jeffrey's here to see you.
Jeffrey, the young man in the suit, moves towards his father's bed. Mr. Beaumont, the man who collapsed, is wired to monitors and wears a neck brace.
Hey, Nat.
Mr. Beaumont struggles in vain to speak. He puts a shaky hand to a device on his throat and reaches out his other hand to Geoffrey, who takes it in his and sits down. Geoffrey blinks back tears and lowers his eyes as his father weeps. A glum-looking Geoffrey walks back through the sunny field and slows as he reaches the hut. Geoffrey scans round for a stone, picks one up, and throws it at a target amid the debris and junk strewn outside the hut. He picks up another stone and aims it at an empty beer bottle. He misses. Geoffrey begins to search through grass for more stones. Something in the grass suddenly attracts his attention, and he crouches to get a better look. Geoffrey parts the long blades of grass and stares down at a severed ear crawling with insects. Stunned, Geoffrey stands up, looks about him, and stares down at the ear again. Its flesh is pale and waxy against the green grass. Geoffrey, in his early 20s, scans about him once more and picks up a discarded brown paper bag. He crouches, separates the grass, and gingerly picks up the ear. He winces as he puts it into the paper bag. Pinching the top of the bag together, Geoffrey walks off at a brisk pace. At Lumberton Police Station, Geoffrey goes to a cop who's manning an information point at reception.
Hello. Do you have a Detective Williams still working here?
Yes, he's up in room 221. Right up the stairs through that door.
Thanks.
Geoffrey leaves reception, which has a bench seat, a coat stand, and a large map on the wall. He heads through a doorway. Geoffrey walks down a corridor to an office. He stands in the open doorway and looks into the outer office.
Detective Williams?
Williams, a slender guy wearing a shoulder holster, walks through from another office to Geoffrey.
Yes?
My name is Geoffrey Beaumont. I live near you. I believe you know my father, Tom Beaumont, Beaumont's Hardware Store?
Sure I do. I understand he's in the hospital. How's he doing?
He's okay, I guess. I hope. They're doing tests, that's why I'm home from school. Anyway, I was at the hospital this morning, and coming home through the field behind our neighborhood, there behind Vista, I found an ear.
You did? A human ear?
Yeah, I thought I should bring it to you.
Yeah, that's right. Let's take a look at it.
Williams, middle-aged, with graying brown hair, looks into the paper bag.
Yes, that's a human ear, all right. Let's take it down to the coroner's office and see what they make of it. Then I want you to show me exactly where you found it.
All right.
A balding, bespectacled man examines the ear on a tray.
We'll check the morgue records, but I don't recall anything coming in minus an ear. The person may very well still be alive somewhere.
What can you tell about the person from the ear?
Well, once the tests are done, quite a lot. Sex, blood type, whether or not the ear came off a dead person. Also, it looks like the ear was cut off with scissors.
Scissors cut a length of police cordon tape. The yellow tape surrounds the field, which has been divided into rows by strings on stakes. Geoffrey watches as the area is searched. The screen goes black. Geoffrey comes out of a room and descends dark steps. The grey-haired woman, Mrs. Beaumont, is sitting on the sofa in the living room. A dark-haired woman knits at the other end of the sofa.
I'm going out for a while.
Do you want the car?
No, I'm just going to walk around.
All right. Well, Geoffrey, you're not going down by Lincoln, are you?
No, I'm just going to walk around the neighborhood. Don't worry.
Okay, honey.
The dark-haired woman, Aunt Barbara, smiles and looks relieved. Geoffrey leaves. On the TV in the living room, a man climbs stairs stealthily. His shadow is cast on the stair wall. Geoffrey walks along a footpath in the well-manicured suburb. Bright streetlights shine out in the night. He passes a fat man who's wearing shades, jeans, a shirt and braces. The man has a small dog on a lead and watches Geoffrey, who ambles along, deep in thought. Leaves rustle in the leafy boughs above Geoffrey. An image of the severed ear emerges. Parts of it are caked with mud and dark hair fringes the severed side. The image closes in on the ear, as if moving inside it. The screen goes black. Jeffrey calls at a house.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey Beaumont. Is Detective Williams here?
Oh, yes. Yes, Jeffrey, come on in.
Thanks.
He follows Mrs. Williams inside. In Williams's study, there's a photo of a pretty young blonde woman.
Oh, no, Jeffrey. You found something which is very interesting to us. Very interesting. I know you must be curious to know more. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you not only not to tell anybody about your find, but also not to ask more about the case. One day when it's all sewed up, I'll let you know all the details. Right now, though, I can't.
I understand. I'm just real curious, like you said.
I was the same way myself when I was your age. I guess that's what got me into this business.
Must be great.
It's horrible, too. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. That's the way it has to be. Anyway, I know you do understand.
Sure.
Williams steers him out of the room.
Thanks for the card from my dad.
Oh, you're welcome. It was nice to finally meet you, Jeffrey.
You too.
Williams accompanies Jeffrey to the front door.
Say hello to Sandy for me.
We will.
Okay.
Good night, Jeffrey.
Good night, Detective Williams.
Jeffrey closes the front door, then the outer screen door. Hands in his trouser pockets, he heads down the path from the chapel-like house.
Are you the one that found the ear?
Jeffrey turns in the direction of the voice and stares into darkness. The late teenage blonde from the Williams' photo emerges. She has shoulder-length hair drawn back and held with a slide, a fresh complexion and blue eyes. She stands before Jeffrey and stares at him.
How did you know?
She glances back at the Williams' house, then they begin to walk.
I just know, that's all. I remember you from Central.
Oh, yeah? You a senior?
Yep.
How was Central these days?
Terrible. I don't know, boring.
Yeah, what else is new, right?
Really? So what are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm home from school. My father's in the hospital.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So what do you know about the ear?
Didn't my father tell you not to talk about it?
Yeah, but you brought it up. You know anything?
I don't know much but bits and pieces. I hear things.
Yeah?
My room is right above my father's office, so...
Above your father's office?
So I heard a few things about the ear.
Uh-huh. And?
Well, there are a couple of cases I get mixed up on. Mm-hmm. But one name that keeps coming up is this woman, Singer. She lives in an apartment building that is real close to your house. It's also close to the field where you found the ear.
It's a strange world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know where this woman's apartment building is?
Yeah, it's really close by. That's what's so creepy. They had her under surveillance for a couple months, except I don't know what they found out, because it's not my dad's case. So...
I guess you gotta get back home pretty soon, huh?
Not really. Why?
Well,
You wanna see the building?
Yeah.
Come on, I'll show you.
A car curb crawls as they walk.
Hey, baby. Hey, babe.
She ignores the driver's calls.
That's a building right there. She lives on the 7th floor.
They stare up at the red brick building. Jeffrey's eyes are wide and intense. Williams's daughter, Sandy, smiles.
Come on.
She turns away. Jeffrey follows Sandy, who wears a pink, short-sleeved dress. He glances back at the forbidding building. A street sign reads, Lincoln. Jeffrey and Sandy stroll.
So, what are you going to do now that you're home?
I've got to help out at my father's hardware store. They're giving me my own hours, which is nice.
He points to a house with a front porch.
I used to know a kid lived there. He had the biggest tongue in the world.
What happened to him?
I don't know. He moved away. All my old friends are gone.
Sandy smiles shyly, and they walk on in the dark.
You know the chicken walk?
What's that?
He does a silly walk.
That's kind of interesting.
Someone across the street seems to be watching the couple as they stroll. Day, at Beaumont's store, Ed uses a white stick to tap his way to a storeroom. Another man, also called Ed, is with him.
Coffee time.
Yo! Hey, Double Ed, where are the overalls?
They're on the bottom shelf, rolled up, where they've always been.
Hey, Ed, how many fingers?
Four!
There were four fingers.
I still don't know how you do that. Now listen, you sure you don't need me or this rig for a while?
Oh, if you want to spray for bugs, Jeffrey, it causes us no pain.
Okie dokie, Double Ed.
Oh, it's so good to have you back.
Yeah, sure.
They smile. Blind Ed wears dark glasses. Sandy and a couple of young women are strolling in sunshine along the footpath outside Central High School. Jeffrey pulls up beside them in an open-topped maroon convertible. Sandy leaves her friends and walks over to him.
Are you hungry or thirsty or both?
I don't know.
I'd like to talk to you about something.
Wait just a minute.
To her friends.
Listen, don't you guys dare say anything to Mike, all right?
Sure.
It's not what you think, okay? Do you promise?
Whatever you say.
Sandy gets in the car.
I don't want to cause any trouble.
I'm here, aren't I?
The friends watch as they drive off. Jeffrey turns to Sandy.
You ever been to Orleans?
Of course.
A loaded logging truck passes Arlene's diner. Inside, Jeffrey and Sandy are seated at a table. A waitress brings Jeffrey a sandwich and goes.
Now are you going to tell me why we're here?
Jeffrey clasps his hands and rests his mouth against them briefly.
There are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience. Sometimes it's necessary to take a risk. And I got to thinking, I'll bet someone could learn a lot by getting into that woman's apartment. You know, sneak in, hide, and observe.
Sneak into her apartment?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Jeffrey, she's possibly involved in murder. This is giving me the creeps.
No, just settle down. I have a plan which I think will work. There's very little for you to do, but I do need your help. Don't you even want to hear the plan?
Well, you can tell me any plan you want, but it's not going any further than this diner.
Sandy, don't take that attitude. All right. The first thing I need is to get into her apartment and open a window that I can crawl into later.
How are you going to do that?
Right out in the car, I happen to have some old overalls and a bug spraying rig. I will go to her apartment. I will be the pest control man. I will spray her apartment. After a few minutes, you knock on the door, drawing her attention away from me, at which time I will then jimmy a window.
And what am I supposed to say when she comes to the door?
You will be a Jehovah's Witness. I have some Awake magazines for you. I don't need very much time, just a few seconds. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a good daydream, but actually doing it's too weird. It's too dangerous.
Well, Sandy, let's just try the first part.
Sandy contemplates unenthusiastically.
No one will suspect us, because no one would think two people like us would be crazy enough to do something like this.
You have a point there.
She smiles timidly. Jeffrey and Sandy pull up in a road opposite the woman's building. The name Deep River Apartments is on a lintel over the stone entrance to the building.
Give me at least 3 minutes from when I'm through the door. I can stall if it's more, but I need time to find a good window. All right?
Fine.
Let's go.
They get out of the car. Sandy takes a few magazines from the back and Jeffrey gets out the bug spray rig. Wearing blue overalls, he hooks the rig's metal canister, which has a rubber tube attached to it, over his shoulder.
Here I go. Wait a minute, what's your name?
Oh, Brother Jeffrey. Dorothy Valens, 7th floor. Look on her mailbox for the number, bright boy.
Jeffrey smiles.
Thanks. Dorothy Valens, 7th floor. Okay. Good luck.
Good luck yourself.
3 minutes. No sooner.
Sandy leans awkwardly against the side of his open-topped car. She wears a light pink cardigan over a scoop-necked white blouse and a light-coloured striped skirt. Jeffrey strides over to Dorothy's building and enters. An electric sign pointing to an elevator fizzles and flashes. Jeffrey walks over to a names board and spots Valens. He turns to the elevator. A handwritten sign on the doors reads, "Elevator out of order, please use stairs." Jeffrey comes out of a door into a yard with dustbins. Shutting the door behind him, he heads for stairs leading up from the narrow, shadowy yard and climbs them. He climbs several flights, looking ahead and above him edgily. The stairs appear to be between two outer walls of the building. Jeffrey makes for a door off the stairs. He goes through it. Jeffrey tentatively enters a dimly lit corridor. He checks about and decides on which direction to walk. He makes his way to a door which has a number plate which reads 710. Jeffrey stands head bowed and waits outside the simple wooden door. The door's opened a crack.
Yes? What is it?
Pest control. You gotta do your apartment.
That stuff stinks.
Oh, it's just new stuff. There's no smell.
Good.
Beautiful brunette Dorothy Valens lets him in. The open-plan apartment is quite large and very tidy. Jeffrey heads for the kitchen, which has cream cupboards and walls and dark wood work surfaces.
Just need to do the kitchen.
Slender Dorothy watches him as he sprays the patterned lino kitchen floor. She's in her 30s and has longish curly hair, elfin features, and a smooth pale complexion. She wears a simple V-necked maroon dress with short sleeves.
Grand Central Station.
Dorothy turns off the open-plan room to go to the door. A man in a yellow jacket enters and glares over at Jeffrey, who meets his gaze, then returns to spraying.
It's only the bugman.
The man turns away to the door and Dorothy follows him. In her absence, Jeffrey unhooks keys hanging from a unit and pockets them. He's busy spraying when Dorothy returns alone. Jeffrey puts the bug rig down on the floor, arranges the rubber tubing, then shoulders the rig, which is on a strap. He walks towards Dorothy.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
She sighs and looks anxious as he heads out of the apartment. Jeffrey meets Sandy on the stairs.
Are you all right?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I was just about to go to the door when that guy did my job for me. Was it all right?
Yes and no. Did you recognize him?
I only saw his back. It sounded like he went out a door at the end of the hall.
Yeah, I didn't get a very good look at him either. He sure looked at me. I didn't have time to get a window, but I found these keys. It's pretty nifty, huh?
Yeah, if they open the door.
Yeah.
Sandy and Jeffrey walk to his car. They dump their gear in the back, and Jeffrey opens the front door for her to get in. He shuts the door, goes round to the driver's side, and gets into the car.
So, what's next?
Are you game for more?
I owe you one, since I goofed this one up.
You didn't goof it up, but you still owe me one.
Jeffrey looks over at the apartment building pensively, then turns to Sandy.
I'm gonna try and sneak in tonight.
She stares.
Friday. Do you have a date?
Yeah. I do.
He stares at her, disappointed, then turns away.
Well, that does that.
He starts up the engine and they drive off. The two of them travel down a city street. The interior of the car is white leather.
You really want to do this, don't you?
I don't want you to get involved. I do, but if something went wrong, like you said, they may be involved in murder.
They've pulled up outside the Williams' house.
Okay, I'll tell Mike I'm sick. Just so the record is kept straight, though. I love Mike.
Jeffrey nods.
What do you want me to do?
He shifts in his seat to face her.
Well, first we'll have a really nice dinner. Try to find out where Dorothy Valance sings.
I already know. It's the Slow Club on Route 7.
Great. I'll pick you up at 8?
Yeah, but don't pick me up. My dad might think it's strange. I'll walk over to your house. I'll be there at 8 o'clock. Okay?
Okay. You better get out before someone sees us.
Okay.
She beams and gets out. Sandy gets her school bag and books out of the back of the car and runs off.
See ya.
He watches her go up the path to her house, then starts up the engine and drives off. A pink and red sign for the Slow Club glows in the night. Inside the club, Sandy and Jeffrey sit at a table and pour beer into their glasses from bottles.
Wait. Here's to an interesting experience, huh?
I'll drink to that.
They smile and sip their drinks.
Man, I like Heineken. You like Heineken?
Well, I never really had Heineken before.
You never had Heineken before?
My dad drinks Bud.
King of beers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Blue Lady, Miss Dorothy Valance.
Dorothy, wearing a slinky, low-cut dress, walks on stage, smiles faintly at the audience, then turns briefly to the band to signal she's ready. The lighting turns blue.
Bluer than velvet was the night. Softer than satin was the light from the stars.
Sandy shuffles uneasily in her seat as she listens. Jeffrey gazes at Dorothy. Later, Dorothy has changed dresses and is doing another number. Watching, Jeffrey taps Sandy. They have a brief conversation, then get up from their table. The blue spotlight on Dorothy goes out. She dramatically turns her back on the audience and stands in silhouette. Jeffrey drives Sandy. The top on the car is up. She eyes him uneasily as they travel through the night and pull up opposite Dorothy's apartment building.
Jeffrey, you shouldn't do this.
Why not?
Because it's crazy. And dangerous. I should have never told you.
I'll be all right. I don't think you should stay here, though. I think you should go home. Can you drive this car?
Yeah,
well,
but
leave
I
leave
just...
it in front of your house for me, okay?
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll tell you how it went.
I don't want to see you tomorrow. Mike's coming over.
Okay, can I call you?
Okay, yeah, call. I hope you sneak out, okay?
Sandy looks at Jeffrey uncertainly.
I'm gonna wait here until she comes.
Sandy.
I'm gonna honk 4 times. I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you'll hear it and you'll know she's on her way up.
Okay.
They smile and lock eyes.
I don't know if you're a detective or a pervert.
No, it's for me to know and you to find out.
He holds her sultry gaze briefly, then gets out. Sandy shifts over to the driver's seat and sighs anxiously. Jeffrey looks in through the open window. Jeffrey smiles gently, then turns and walks over to Deep River Apartments. Sandy watches him and heaves another anxious sigh. Jeffrey climbs the shadowy flights of stairs to Dorothy's floor. He enters the corridor on her level and checks about. Taking keys from his pocket, he heads down the dimly lit corridor to Dorothy's door and knocks on it. Jeffrey then moves beyond the door to check down another corridor. He returns to Dorothy's door. He tries one key, then another. He enters the apartment. The open-plan living room and kitchen is in darkness. Jeffrey walks into the room a little and stops. Pocketing the keys, he walks towards a bedroom and looks in it. There's a dressing table cluttered with cosmetics. Jeffrey leaves the room. Jeffrey goes to another door and opens it. Inside is a metal cot bed with one side down. There appears to be a trunk on the floor and a conical hat with a propeller on the pointed end. Jeffrey leaves the room. Sandy sees a car pull up at the entrance to the apartments. Sandy glances over her shoulder, then looks away as a male driver gets out of the car.
Heineken.
Jeffrey takes a leak in Dorothy's bathroom. The guy opens the car door for Dorothy. She gets out and enters the building with him. Sandy takes a deep breath. Jeffrey hasn't heard the horn over the sound of the toilet flushing.
I hope you're okay, Jeffrey.
Sandy looks away from the building and starts the car. Jeffrey walks through the dark apartment. The lights go on. He dives into a closet with louvered doors.
Thank you, Jimmy. See you tomorrow.
Dorothy, wearing a dress with a split skirt, dumps her bag on a chair and turns on a nearby lamp. Jeffrey peers through a gap in the louvered door. His eyes widen as Dorothy takes off beads and pulls her dress off over her head. Wearing nothing but a black bra and briefs, she walks towards the closet he's in. Jeffrey shrinks back. She hurries to the phone.
Hello? Yes, sir. Frank? Frank, let me talk to him. Please, Frank. Sir. I like to sing Blue Velvet. Don. Don, it's all right. Don't worry. Don. Don, can you hear me? Is little Donnie all right? Is he there with you? Don?
She listens anxiously.
You mean Madeleine? Frank! Frank, what's the matter with him? I know. I'll be sweet. Mummy loves you. Okay, Frank, sir.
Looking devastated and worried, she puts the receiver down. Jeffrey watches as she sits with her mouth open and eyes staring. Suddenly, she gets down on all fours on the floor and slides a framed photo out from under the sofa. She studies the image, then slowly slides it back to its hiding place. Wearing red stilettos, she crawls along the floor, whimpering. She lowers her forehead to the carpet, then slumps onto her side. Jeffrey continues watching. Dorothy sits up and suddenly reaches for her hair. It's a wig which she tears off to reveal short, dark hair. She gets up slowly and teeters down a corridor to the bathroom, holding onto the walls for support. She turns on the light and steps out of her shoes. She then removes her bra and knickers. Jeffrey continues watching through the louvered doors. Dorothy, wearing her curly wig again, comes out of the bathroom holding a bright red towel to her. She heads for the closet, and Jeffrey ducks behind a row of clothes hanging from a rail. She takes a robe out. Now dressed in the blue crushed velvet robe, she sits and closes her eyes. Jeffrey moves to look. Hearing a noise emanate from the closet, she opens her eyes and casts them about the room as she sits listening intently. Dorothy gets up and goes to the kitchen. Keeping out of Jeffrey's line of sight, she takes a large knife from a drawer and moves slowly back across the smart apartment. She stands at the side of the closet. Jeffrey peers through a slat. Dorothy suddenly wrenches the door open.
Get out of there! Get out! Put your hands up! On your head! Do it! Get on your knees! Do it! What are you doing? Who are you? What's your name? What's your name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey what?
Jeffrey nothing.
She stabs at his cheek.
Give me your wallet! Give me your wallet!
He reaches for his wallet and hands it over. Still holding the knife, she looks at his details.
Jeffrey Beaumont. What are you doing in my apartment, Jeffrey Beaumont?
I wanted to see you.
Are you kidding? Who sent you here?
Nobody.
I've seen you before.
I sprayed your apartment. I took your key. I didn't mean to do anything except see you.
What did you see tonight? Tell me.
I saw you come in. I saw you talk on the phone.
And then?
You got undressed.
He's at knife point.
Do you sneak in girls' apartment to see them get undressed?
No, never before this.
Get undressed. I want to see you.
Look, I'm sorry. Just let me leave.
No way! I want to see you get undressed!
The knife blade trembles as she holds it to his face. Still kneeling, Jeffrey reluctantly begins to undress. He removes his jacket, tie and shirt, unzips his trousers, then takes off his vest. He remains kneeling.
Stand up.
Wearing only dark, checked boxer shorts, he rises slowly to his feet. Dorothy, still holding the knife, sinks to her knees before him. She looks up at him and smiles. Jeffrey gulps edgily.
Come closer.
He takes a tentative step forward. She remains staring up at him.
Closer.
He winces and takes another step.
What do you want?
Still holding the knife, she pulls down his boxer shorts with her free hand. Dorothy caresses his hip.
Don't move. Don't look at me.
He obeys. Dorothy moves her head towards his body and plants kisses on his hip and upper thigh.
You like that?
He tries to hold her.
Don't touch me, or I'll kill you!
She points the knife at him.
Do you like dogs like that?
No.
Get over there on that couch.
Wearing nothing but socks, he obeys. She follows him, knife raised and ready to strike.
Lie down.
Again he obeys, and she sits astride him, knife pointed at his face. Dorothy leans in and begins to kiss him on the mouth and neck. Dorothy sits up.
Shut up. Don't say anything. Go in the closet. Don't say anything, or I'll kill you. I mean it.
They run across the room to the closet. Dorothy helps Jeffrey gather up his clothes on the way, then shuts him in the closet with them. Still holding the knife, she turns in a circle and scans about. She drops the knife behind a radiator and goes to the front door. Jeffrey peers out through the closet slats. Dorothy steps backwards as a thin-faced man wearing a leather jacket steps in and looks impatient.
Hello, baby.
Shut up! It's Daddy, you shithead! Where's my bourbon?
Having pulled up a chair, she goes to get the drink.
Can't you fucking remember anything?
She hurriedly puts out the lamp she turned on earlier. Dorothy lights a wall candle with a match, then goes to sit primly on the chair.
Now it's dark.
Drink in hand, Daddy, who's in his 40s, settles down onto the couch.
Spread your legs.
Dorothy has her back to Jeffrey as he watches from the closet. She does as she's bid, and slowly pulls the long blue gown up as she opens her legs.
Wider.
Daddy watches intently.
Now show it to me.
He stares coldly, sighs, and sips his drink. He then drains his drink and puts his glass down.
Don't you fucking look at me.
He points two fingers at Dorothy. She looks away from him and up at the ceiling. The guy leans to one side and takes a gas canister from his pocket. Daddy puts a mask over his nose and mouth and inhales the gas. He urgently kneels between Dorothy's legs.
Oh, Mommy! Mommy! Mommy!
Mommy loves you.
Baby wants to fuck! Get ready to fuck! You fuckers, fucker! You fucker!
He scans about.
Don't you fucking look at me!
He punches Dorothy. Her head falls back and she remains with her eyes closed. Jeffrey watches as the guy continues to inhale gas and stares intently at Dorothy's crotch.
Baby, what's blue velvet?
Her head still thrown back and eyes closed, Dorothy stuffs part of her gown into his mouth. Her red-painted lips part, and there's a beatific look on her face. He suddenly throws her to the floor.
Fucking look at me! Fucking look at me!
He takes scissors from his pocket and opens and closes them in her face.
Look at me. Daddy's coming.
He shoves her gown tie in her mouth.
Daddy's coming home. Did you fucking look at me? Daddy's home.
He shoves the other end of the tie in his mouth and violently fingers her. He then jumps on her and thrusts into her frantically. The gown tie drops from his mouth as he finishes coming. He sits up. Dorothy pulls the tie from her mouth and turns her head towards him.
Don't you fucking look at me! Don't fucking look at me!
Jeffrey winces as Dorothy's hit. She lies writhing on the floor. Daddy flexes the fingers of his right hand in and out maniacally. He gets up, blows out the candle, and zips up his fly. Jeffrey's eyes are wide and staring as he looks out through the louvered door. Daddy stands astride Dorothy, then bends and turns her roughly over onto her back. He straightens up and looks down at her.
You stay alive, baby. Do it for Van Gogh.
Dressed all in black, Daddy wipes his face agitatedly and walks out. Dorothy lies curled up in a fetal position on the floor. Jeffrey slowly emerges from the closet. Now wearing his boxers again, he creeps slowly over to Dorothy, crouches, and lays a hand on her head. He withdraws his hand when she jumps. Jeffrey helps her up and steers her to the couch. She lies down with her back to him, and he lays a shawl that's there over her. She throws off the shawl.
I don't like that. What do you want?
Nothing.
He crouches.
Are you all right?
She turns her head to him.
No, I'm all right.
She looks away and weeps.
I'll go right.
I'll go then.
Dawn. Dawn. Don, hold me. Hold me. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared.
It's okay. It's okay.
Don. Don.
Jeffrey hugs her.
You're back.
Dorothy pulls back from Jeffrey slightly and caresses his face as she looks at him. She lets herself flop blissfully in his embrace.
Do you like the way I feel?
Yes.
She remains with her eyes closed as she draws aside her gown.
See my breast? You can feel it. My nipple.
She places Jeffrey's hand on her breast.
You can feel it. Do you like the way I feel?
Yes.
Her red lips are parted.
Feel me. Hit me.
She thumps the couch.
Dorothy, no! Stop it!
Hit me! Hit me! Hit me!
She pushes him aside and gets up. Jeffrey stands. Looking confused and flustered, Jeffrey scans about. He glances down the corridor to the bathroom where Dorothy's lurking in the shadows. Jeffrey goes to the closet and begins to put on his clothes. As he pulls on his trousers, Dorothy goes into the bathroom. Jeffrey watches her as he pulls on his jacket. Dorothy stands leaning over the wash basin, her back to him. There's a small nick on his face.
I'm leaving now.
She stirs slightly.
Dawn. Dawn. Help me.
Jeffrey has noticed that a piece of the hem of her gown has been cut out. He bows his head, then turns and walks back down the corridor towards the living room. He stops, looks at the couch and considers. Jeffrey crouches and takes the framed photo from under the couch. It's of a little boy in the arms of a dark-haired 30-something man. The boy's wearing the conical hat.
Oh my God, that hat.
A certificate's at the back of the frame.
She's married. Don.
It's the certificate of marriage for Dorothy Ellen Valens and Donald James Watts. Jeffrey returns the items to their hiding place. Dorothy's still in the bathroom.
Help me.
Jeffrey descends the outer staircase from the apartment. The stairwell is dark and shadowy with occasional dim lights on each landing. Jeffrey walks along a dark suburban path. He stops and looks ahead. A light illuminates his face as a distorted, dreamlike image of a man's face speaks. The image becomes a replay of Daddy. The candle burns, then is blown out.
Now it's dark.
Hit me. Hit me.
Jeffrey wakes from a dream and turns over in his bed.
Man, oh man.
He's on the phone at the family store.
Hey, Sandy, can you talk?
Mike's here.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess I'll talk to you later then.
And
it went okay. I'll tell you about it.
I'll pick you up at 8.
Newax 48721.
2295.
They serve a customer.
I'll see you then.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jeffrey replaces the Bakelite receiver and looks uneasy. The screen goes black. Jeffrey is now wearing a different shirt and sitting in a room with white blinds. He sits staring ahead grimly. Night. Sandy drives Jeffrey and pulls up opposite a church which has softly lit stained glass windows. Sandy, who's wearing a strapless top, glances at the church, then looks expectantly to Jeffrey, who sits glumly.
Well? Aren't you going to tell me about it?
Okay.
He looks away from her and lowers his eyes.
It's a strange world, Sandy. Dorothy Valance is married to a man named Don. They have a son. I think the son and the husband have been kidnapped by a man named Frank. Frank has done this to force Dorothy to do things for him. I think she wants to die. I think Frank cut the ear I found off her husband as a warning for her to stay alive. Frank is, a very dangerous man.
Oh my God. Should you tell my father?
No. I can't do that. I can't prove any of this. I found out my information illegally. You could get into a lot of trouble.
He's all on one night.
Jeffrey looks down and nods slowly.
It's a strange world.
His eyes remain lowered. Then he turns to Sandy tearfully.
Why are there people like Frank? Why is there so much trouble in this world?
Jeffrey looks away, his profile set in a sad expression.
I had a dream.
He turns to Sandy.
In fact, it was the night I met you.
She fixes him with gentle eyes, then sits back and stares ahead as she recalls the dream.
In the dream, there was our world, and the world was dark because there weren't any robins. And the robins represented love. And for the longest time, there was just this darkness. And all of a sudden, thousands of robins were set free. And they flew down and brought this blinding light of love. And it seemed like that love would be the only thing that would make any difference.
She looks to the heavens, bright-eyed. Jeffrey's gloom lifts slightly, and they share a gentle smile.
So I guess it means there is trouble till the robins come.
You're a neat girl.
they hold each other's gaze. Sandy suddenly looks embarrassed.
I guess we better go.
Yeah, I guess so.
He looks away despondently. Sandy drives away. The religious scenes depicted in the church windows glow in the night. Dorothy answers her door.
Hi. May I come in?
Yes.
She grasps his jacket briefly.
Hurry, though.
Jeffrey steps inside and shuts the door. Dorothy stands with her back to him.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not.
She turns to him.
Why are you here? What do you want?
I
looked for you in my closet tonight. It's crazy, I know. I don't know where you come from, but I like you.
It's not crazy. I like you too.
He steps towards her. Dorothy gets up close to him.
I like being with you last night.
Same here.
He moves his lips towards her tentatively, and they kiss.
Please be with me. Be with me, please.
A curtain rustles over a window. The Slow Club sign flickers in the night. Inside, Jeffrey pours a Heineken. Dorothy is on stage.
Gone was the glow of blue velvet, but in my heart there'll always be.
Jeffrey suddenly stiffens as he spots Daddy, Frank, in the audience.
My memory.
Frank closes his eyes briefly as he listens, his brow furrowed in an intense expression.
And I still can see blue velvet through my tears.
Dorothy looks towards Frank, who lowers his eyes emotionally. He's holding a piece of her blue velvet robe. The club's brightly lit red and pink sign reflects on Jeffrey as he sits glumly in his car. He watches Frank and three men leave the club. They pass cars parked outside the club. One man is small and wears a pork pie hat, another wears a satin jacket, another a brown leather jacket. Frank and the men take off in a Dodge Charger. Jeffrey follows. Streetlights reflect on Jeffrey's face as he drives. He follows the car into an industrial area where it stops outside a warehouse-type building. The shadow of a mechanical arm moving up and down is cast on the warehouse. Frank and the men get out of his car. Jeffrey pulls up and watches from a distance. Jeffrey gets out of his car. Jeffrey begins to climb a shadowy staircase, but stops when he notices a bank of mailboxes. Jeffrey peers at one. It has the name Frank Booth on it. Jeffrey makes his way back down the stairs. Day, Jeffrey's in his car watching Frank's building.
Logs, logs, logs. Lumberton, USA. At the sound of the falling tree, it's 1:30, and this is the mighty voice of Lumberton, the town where people really know how much wood a woodchuck chucks.
At Central, Sandy stands outside the school and checks her watch. Jeffrey pulls up, but she waves him on when she notices Mike in the football squad nearby is watching her.
Keep going.
Bed.
Mike calls to her through wire netting. Jeffrey hasn't moved on. Mike turns away despondently.
Oh, great.
Sandy gets in the car.
You're late.
Sorry.
What am I going to do now?
Well, you want to go talk to him?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to do much good. Let's just go. I'll try to talk to him later.
Okay. A logging truck passes Arlene's diner. Sandy and Jeffrey are in the diner.
See that clock on the wall?
He has a sandwich. They both have Cokes.
Yeah.
5 minutes from now, you're not going to believe what I've told you.
Her smile fades. He looks grave. A flashback.
Number one. Today, I staked out Frank's place with a camera. Now, there's another man involved in all this. I call him the Yellow Man. You saw his back the other day at Dorothy's apartment. Today, I saw the Yellow Man go into Frank's building, laughing with Frank.
Now, the only trouble is, what does that prove?
Nothing really. But it's interesting.
Number two. I saw the Yellow Man come out and meet up with a well-dressed man carrying an alligator briefcase.
There are orange vans sign-written with Allied around Frank's building. The other man approaches Yellow Man. Jeffrey takes photographs with a camera hidden in a box on his dashboard. He operates it with a remote shutter button.
They went to this factory building downtown, stood on a staircase, and looked off in the distance.
The men climb an outside staircase at the factory.
Look at this. In the distance, there was a murder. This drug dealer was shot to death and the woman had her legs broken.
Jeffrey.
A photographer snaps a man who slumped out of a window.
And these two guys told me that the police would find a huge amount of drugs in a dead dealer's place.
I can't believe what you're finding out. Are you going to continue with this?
Yeah.
Until when? I mean, what are you going to do with this stuff?
Well, I don't know.
You're not going back to her apartment.
Yeah.
Sandy stares.
Jeffrey, why?
I'm seeing something that was always hidden. I'm involved in a mystery. I'm in the middle of a mystery, and it's all secret.
You like mysteries that much?
Yeah.
He smiles faintly.
You're a mystery. I like you.
Sandy gives a perplexed smile and lowers her eyes. Jeffrey gets up and goes to sit beside her. She turns to him. Jeffrey moves slowly towards Sandy and kisses her on the lips. She responds eagerly, then pulls away.
Jeffrey, don't, please.
He draws back slowly and smiles tenderly.
Worry about me, really?
Yeah. Is that so surprising? Yeah, I worry a lot. I got you into this.
A smartly dressed Jeffrey climbs the shadowy staircase at Dorothy's apartment building.
She wore blue.
Jeffrey pauses for a moment, looks up a flight of steps, and then continues.
Softer than satin was the light.
Dorothy, wearing the maroon dress, answers her door.
She wore blue.
Jeffrey stands gazing at her. She steps back to let him in. He enters.
Bluer than velvet were her eyes.
They stand for a moment, their eyes locked. Dorothy runs her hand up his chest to his neck and draws Jeffrey into a kiss. Dorothy kisses him hungrily, then withdraws and takes his hands in hers.
Come to my bedroom.
Holding his hands and walking backwards, she draws Jeffrey away. The red curtain billows at an open window near the closet. The pair are in bed, kissing passionately.
What do you want to do?
I'm doing it.
Are you a bad boy?
What do you mean?
Do you want to do bad things? Anything? Anything?
Jeffrey nuzzles her.
You. I told you I want to help you. Dorothy, I know some of what's happening. Frank has your husband and son, doesn't he? Dorothy, you gotta do something. Go to the police.
She moves out from under him.
No police. No police. Don, hit me!
No! No!
Get away! Get away from my bed! Get away!
He hits her hard as she pushes him. She smiles as he hits her again. Her front tooth is chipped. Flames consume their images briefly. In slow motion, Jeffrey lies on top of Dorothy, thrusting into her as she holds him tightly. The screen goes black.
I have your disease in me now.
The red curtain billows. Dressed, Jeffrey fiddles with the little boy's hat, which plays music as Jeffrey turns the propeller on it. Hearing the music, Dorothy rushes down the dark corridor from the bathroom and into the living room. She grabs the hat, cleaves it to her breast, then sets it down gently.
You used to make me laugh.
I'm sorry, Dorothy. I should go.
Yes.
Dorothy's eyes dart maniacally towards the closet and window, a momentary image of the shadowy stairwell.
You think I'm crazy, don't you? I want you to stay. Don't hate me.
Oh, I sure don't hate you.
I'm not crazy. I know the difference between right and wrong.
That's good.
She holds his look.
You're my special friend.
With a teasing smile, she moves close to Jeffrey.
I still have you inside of me. It helps me. I need you.
He takes her hands.
I'll call you.
Okay. Soon?
She lets him out.
Are you lying to me? You sure?
Hey!
Frank and the three men are in the corridor. She recoils from him.
Who is this fuck?
A friend. He's from the neighborhood. We were just talking.
Oh. You're from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Your neighbor. Well, what's your name, neighbor?
Jeffrey.
He's a good kid, Frank.
Shut the fuck up!
Frank stands before them menacingly.
Hey, you want to go for a ride?
No, thanks.
No, thanks? What does that mean?
I don't want to go.
Go where?
For a ride.
A ride? Hell, that's a good idea. Okay, let's go.
Jeffrey doesn't move.
Let's go. Get your fucking robe. Raymond! Come on, we're going to go for a joyride.
Joyride.
The Dodge's wheels spin and smoke, and its headlights illuminate. The car speeds down a street.
All right, where do you want to go?
Oh, I know.
We got to go to Ben's, right?
Oh, right. We've got to see Ben.
Yeah, we got to.
We may all be killed.
Jeffrey looks alarmed.
He's
a pussy,
Frank. He's a pussy. Everybody's
our
pussy. Right,
tits? Pussy heaven.
Have you ever been to pussy heaven?
Well, what'd he say?
No. I hadn't been to pussy heaven.
Dorothy's in the front with Frank.
Police call, police call.
Frank has a police radio.
This is it. Raymond?
a knife.
Thank you, Raymond.
The Dodge pulls up outside a building with a lit sign. This is it.
Oh. Frank's here.
The man, Ben, gets to his feet.
Come on. I want you to meet a friend of mine. Hey, Raymond, you get enough beer for Ben, too. What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken.
Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Fat old women sit in Ben's apartment.
I brought some friends, brought some beer. Hey.
Frank enters with his arm around Dorothy and greets a tarty woman beside a blow-up doll.
This is a fine surprise. You brought your friends. I love surprises. Please sit down.
Ben is ghostly pale.
Suave? God damn, you're one suave fucker.
Ben has a cigarette holder.
You want some beer?
Of course, Frank. Darling.
He addresses an obese elderly woman.
Darling, could you bring some glasses? And we'll have a beer with Frank. Thank you. Please sit down.
Ben wears lipstick and eye makeup.
Shit, Ben. How the shit are you?
Fine, Frank, fine. How are you?
Fucking good. I'm real fucking good.
I can't come here today. Gone tomorrow.
Raymond opens and closes his flick knife in Jeffrey's face. The guy in the pork pie hat.
That doesn't scare me.
Raymond, in a satin jacket, laughs. Pork pie turns to Jeffrey.
Paul, what's your name?
Jeffrey.
Paul stares up at him fixedly and nods. The others laugh. Frank's smile fades.
Where's the glasses? That beer's gonna get warm. One thing I can't fucking stand is warm beer makes me fucking puke.
All right, darling, where's the glasses? Here, Frank, here come the glasses. See, here are the glasses.
Raymond, where's the fucking beer, man?
It's right here, Frank. You want me to pour it?
No, I want you to fuck it. Shit, yes, pour the fucking beer.
Raymond obeys. Frank takes a glass for himself and offers one to Ben.
Drink up.
Here's to your health.
Ah, shit, let's drink to something else. Let's drink to fucking.
Spaced out Ben blinks.
I'd say, here's to your fuck, Frank.
If you like, Frank. Here's to your fuck. Cheers.
Cheers. Wow, suave, man. You are so fucking suave.
Ben smiles and shrugs casually.
We love Ben.
We love Ben.
Here's the Ben.
Here's the Ben.
Frank whacks Jeffrey and grabs him.
Here's to Ben.
Here's to Ben.
Be polite.
Jeffrey looks at Ben.
Here's to Ben.
Frank goes back over to Ben.
See, that Ben? I can make him do anything I please.
Ben, who wears a frilly shirt, puts down his drink and goes over to Jeffrey.
Thank you for the toast. That was very nice, neighbor. Did he hurt your little face?
Ben whacks Jeffrey in the belly.
I feel better.
Hey!
Frank, I have something for you. Would you excuse us all for a moment, please?
Excuse us, por favor. Raymond, do me a favor, sit.
Frank pushes Dorothy towards Raymond. Paul claps his hands in Jeffrey's face.
I'm Paul.
The guy in the brown leather jacket is holding Jeffrey by the scruff of the neck. In a room, Ben hands Frank a wad of money, then a clear plastic bag with white powder in it. Ben also pops a pill in Frank's mouth. Frank smiles and sips his beer.
Gordon went right up to him in broad daylight, of course, because he's the man, right? And he took all those drugs away, and it was fucking beautiful. The candy-colored clown they call the sandman. Me. Let Ted see her kid, huh?
Hearing Frank, Dorothy rushes over to a door. Raymond knocks on the door, which is guarded by a fat woman. A buxom redhead opens up and lets Dorothy in. Jeffrey watches.
Candy-colored clown they call the Sandman.
Donnie! 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 No! No! Donnie, Mama loves you! No!
Jeffrey listens and looks troubled. Frank puts on a cassette. Ben takes an electric torch and holds it in front of his own face. He turns it on and it illuminates him.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman.
Ben mimes to the song and the torch doubles as a mic. Frank stands watching intently and mouthing the words.
Go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes. Then I drift away.
Ben gets into hand movements as he mimes. The others watch admiringly.
I softly say.
Standing beside Ben, watching him, Frank nods and mouths a few more words of the song. His brow furrows and he begins to look troubled. Dorothy shuffles out of Don's room, her head bowed.
My dreams of you.
Frank screws up his eyes and looks distraught.
In dreams, I walk.
Ben sings to him, and Frank mouths more of the words. Ben moves away.
In dreams, I talk to you. In dreams.
Frank grits his teeth and screws up his eyes again.
All the time.
Ben has stopped miming. Frank takes out the tape.
All right, let's hit the fucking road. We're giving our neighbor a joyride. Let's get on with it.
Bye, Ben.
Anyone want to go on a joyride with us? How about you? Huh?
The fat women.
Hey.
To Dorothy.
No smile for Frank. No?
Okay, fuck it. Let's go.
Raymond snogs the tart.
You want to go with Raymond? Come on.
The tart goes with Raymond.
I'll see you Tuesday, Frank. Right then.
Ben turns off the torch.
Now it's dark.
Frank reacts to Ben's words.
Let's fuck! I'll fuck anything that moves!
Road markings speed by. A headlight of the Dodge Charger shines out into the night. Frank's wild blue eyes stare ahead as he drives. He twitches. Jeffrey looks over Frank's shoulder at the speedo. It's at 104.
Where are we going, Frank?
Taking your neighbor out to the fucking country.
Hey, do you like to walk? Hey, I'm talking to you, shithead.
Huh? He said, what?
What?
Dorothy glances over her shoulder at Jeffrey in the back with Paul and Raymond. Frank sees.
Hey! What has this fuck got to do with anything? Jesus, goddamn!
Frank spins the car around abruptly. The tart is thrown on top of Raymond. Frank pulls up and turns to look at Jeffrey.
Fuck! What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Don't you look at me, fuck!
Jeffrey lowers his eyes. Frank continues staring at him and places the gas mask over his own nose and mouth. Frank stares maniacally and he removes the mask.
You're like me.
Alarmed, Dorothy lays a hand on Frank's shoulder. He inhales and stares at her breasts.
Oh, look at those. Oh, what are these?
Please, Brad, let's go.
Don't say please, fuckhead!
Oh, baby. Oh, baby wants to pinch them. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, give them back. Oh, what's the matter? They're just a little red, that's all. Oh, give them, let me feel them. Oh, come here.
Hey, leave her alone!
Dorothy looked to be in ecstasy. Frank glares at Jeffrey and pinches Dorothy's breast.
Oh, damn. Next! You out of the car, fuck! Get him out of the car, Raymond!
Frank! Frank, he didn't mean
it! Shut up! Shut up!
Jeffrey whacked Frank. He's hauled out of the car and rammed against it. Raymond holds his knife to Jeffrey's face while Paul and the other guy hold him. They stand him in front of Frank, who breathes gas. Paul shines a torch on Jeffrey's face.
Pretty.
Frank puts on lipstick and kisses Jeffrey.
Frank! Frank, leave him alone! Frank! Frank!
Jeffrey flinches.
Paul. Candy colored clown.
Paul puts the cassette in the car stereo.
You're fucking lucky to be alive.
Candy colored clown, they call us their name. Tiptoes to my room.
Look at me.
Frank's lipstick is smeared around Jeffrey's mouth. The tart climbs on the car roof.
Go to sleep, everything.
Candy colored clown.
The tart, wearing a pink miniskirt, dances. Frank stares into Jeffrey's eyes.
Don't be a good neighbor to her. I'll send you a love letter. Straight from my heart, fucker! You know what a love letter is? It's a bullet from a fucking gun, fucker! You receive a love letter from me, you're fucked forever! You understand, fuck?
Jeffrey trembles and nods.
I'll send you straight to hell, fucker!
Frank's up close to Jeffrey.
In dreams, I talk to you. In dreams, you're mine.
Jeffrey gulps. Raymond's knife is at his throat. Frank wipes Jeffrey's mouth with the piece of Dorothy's blue robe. Wearing her blue velvet robe, Dorothy watches anxiously from the car. Frank wipes the lipstick off Jeffrey's face with the material.
Huh? Feel it! Huh? You like that? Hold them tight for me.
Frank, stop it! Frank, stop it! Frank, stop it!
The tart continues dancing on the top of the car as Frank beats Jeffrey up. The candle flame burns and dies. The screen goes black. Day. A battered Jeffrey slowly comes to, face down on the ground, and raises his head slightly. He slowly rolls over onto his back. Sprinklers irrigate stacked tree trunks nearby. Jeffrey makes his way stiffly across muddy ground in desolate countryside. Cranes, outbuildings, and stacks of timber are in the background. One of Jeffrey's eyes is swollen and bruised and his nose bloody. He stops and looks over at a sign. It reads, Meadow Lane. He walks on. Jeffrey, now washed, sits on the side of his bed and stares down as he recalls scenes.
Hit me.
Wearing a vest top and pajama bottoms, Jeffrey blinks back tears at the memory and wrings his hands. He recalls hitting Dorothy and weeps. Jeffrey recalls the child's musical hat, then the scene at Ben's.
No, darling, Mama loves you!
Jeffrey remembers hitting Dorothy again and her chipped front tooth. His body is racked with sobs at the memory. Sandy on the phone.
Jeffrey, what do you mean you're lucky to be able to call me?
Things got a little out of hand. I know some things. They could help your father, but you might get into trouble.
Look, forget me. You've got to tell him.
Okay. I promise I won't mention you.
Jeffrey, I mean it. It doesn't matter.
Good. I'll see you Friday, if not before.
Okay.
Good. Bye-bye, Sandy.
Bye.
He puts the receiver down. Mrs. Beaumont and Aunt Barbara are sitting at the breakfast table. They both look towards the stairs and gape in horror. Jeffrey joins them at the table.
I don't want to talk about it.
But
everything is okay now. I just don't want to talk about it.
Oh, but sometimes it's good to talk things over, Jeffrey. For instance, they say that many marriages are saved by people...
I love you, but you're going to get it.
Two cops stand chatting beside a squad car outside Lumberton Police Station. Inside the station, Jeffrey, carrying an A4 envelope, strides to Williams' outer office. He stands in the open doorway. The man in the yellow jacket looks up at him from a desk. Jeffrey steps out hurriedly and leans against a wall. Jeffrey goes to a water fountain and drinks from it. As he does so, he turns his head and sees the nameplate on yellow man's desk, Detective T.R. Gordon.
Gordon. Gordon went right up to him in broad daylight, of course, because he's the man, right? And he took all those drugs away, and it was beautiful.
An image of the dead drug dealer slumped out of the window. Gordon catches Jeffrey looking at him. Jeffrey hurries off. Gordon stares after him pensively, then resumes writing. Night. Jeffrey, carrying the envelope, walks along a footpath. He stops, looks at the envelope, and considers uneasily for a moment before walking on. At the Williams' house, Sandy comes downstairs to answer the door.
I got it.
Williams opens up.
Jeffrey.
Come on in.
Jeffrey. Sandy.
Jeffrey.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I need to talk to you.
Okay. Looks like you had a bad facelift.
Yeah.
Come on into my study.
Williams leads the way. Jeffrey lays a hand on Sandy's, then follows him in.
I have to show you some photos and tell you some things about them.
Sandy waits anxiously on the stairs.
It's the first picture. It's Frank Booth. He is a very sick and dangerous man. His address is on the back of the photo. This photo is of Frank and another man as they went into Frank's building.
Williams puffs on a cigarette as he looks at the photos. He sees one of Gordon and Frank together and looks up edgily at Jeffrey, who's watching him intently.
And then that man came out and met with a third man. This well-dressed guy. Here's that photo.
The well-dressed man with a crocodile briefcase is dark-haired and sports a moustache.
I think a woman named Dorothy Valens is in trouble with these people. I think Frank kidnapped her husband and son. I have no hard proof of any of this.
Sandy drags her nail along paintwork.
Is Sandy part of this?
Oh, no, no.
Who else knows you have these photos?
Just you in the photo lab.
And you're through with this business now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Williams studies him for a long moment.
For now, all right, you better be. And Sandy better not be involved with this, I can tell you.
Jeffrey shakes his head.
Be prepared to come in for further interrogation on this later.
Yes, sir.
Sandy gets up off the stairs as Jeffrey comes out of the study.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. Is Friday still on?
You didn't tell him about me?
No.
Why did I ever get you going on this, Jeffrey?
William stands in his study doorway.
Of course, Friday's still on.
Great. I'll see you then. Good night, Detective Williams.
Williams nods a curt and grim farewell.
Good night, Sandy.
Good night, Jeffrey.
Sandy sees Jeffrey out, then turns to see her father staring at her.
Dad, what's wrong?
Deborah, nothing wrong.
Arms folded across her stomach, Sandy smiles awkwardly. At the Beaumont's pleasant timber house, Geoffrey, wearing sunglasses, stands watering the garden with a hose. Geoffrey sits at his sleeping father's hospital bedside, holding his hand. Aunt Barbara and Mrs. Beaumont are also there. The blue light of a stationary police car flashes in the night. Geoffrey pulls up in front of the squad car, which is parked outside the Williams' house. Geoffrey gets out of his car, studies the police car for a moment, then walks up the few steps to the path which leads to the Williams' large house, which has a lawn in front of it. Inside, Sandy's mum is about to fasten a necklace on her.
It's like
stay. Okay, I'll get it.
Okay, thanks.
Blonde Mrs. Williams removes her glasses.
Good evening, Geoffrey. Come on in.
Thanks, Miss Williams.
She's all ready.
Okay. You look great.
Thanks.
Hello, Detective Williams.
Hello, Geoffrey.
You all set?
Almost.
Hey, John, get a move on.
Gordon pops his head round the front door, then enters. Geoffrey looks at Williams in alarm.
Just a minute, Tom.
Easy does it, Geoffrey. Behave yourself. Don't blow it.
Come on, John, get it in gear, pal.
So long, Geoffrey. You two have a nice time tonight, okay?
Okay.
What's going on?
Just a little fatherly advice.
That's right, Geoffrey.
Come on.
Bye, Dad. Bye. Good night, Mom.
Bye. Have a good time.
Night, Sandy.
Good night, Tom.
Geoffrey averts his eyes from Tom Gordon as he and Sandy leave. Gordon stares after him. In the car.
Geoffrey, what was that all about?
It's nothing. Really. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Her golden hair falls in curls about her face and she wears a delicate, strappy dress. They drive past shops.
You look beautiful.
Sandy smiles shyly.
Thank you.
Holding hands, Sandy and Geoffrey walk downstairs into a house party.
Hi.
Sandy beams as she greets people and spots the three girlfriends she swore to silence. She leaves Geoffrey and goes over to them. They smile and admire her dress. The friends look over at Geoffrey. Sandy goes back to him.
It's all taken care of.
Okay.
You want something to drink?
Sandy takes his hand and leads him into the middle of the crowded room. They stand looking at each other. Then Sandy lays her head gently on his shoulder as they dance. They move slowly. Sandy's elegant fingers caress Geoffrey's back. She lifts her head to face him, and they look into each other's eyes before moving slowly into a long, tender kiss. They draw apart slightly and stare into each other's eyes again.
I love you, Geoffrey.
He lowers his eyes, hesitates, then smiles.
I love you too.
They nuzzle each other's noses, then kiss passionately. Drawing apart, Geoffrey nuzzles Sandy's cheek. They stand with their foreheads pressed together before kissing passionately again. Party guests have spilled out onto the softly lit porch of the house. Sandy and Jeffrey leave.
Bye, see you later.
Holding hands and smiling, they walk down the garden path. Sandy and Jeffrey walk down a few steps and head for his car. They get in and Jeffrey drives off. Car headlights swing round a corner. The car follows Sandy and Jeffrey. Sandy gazes at Jeffrey as he drives. The car zigzags behind them.
What's going on?
What is it?
It's gonna hit us.
Oh my God, what's wrong?
Frank.
The back bumper hangs loose as Jeffrey slews round a corner with the other car in hot pursuit.
Hold it!
Hang on.
Jeffrey narrowly misses a car pulling out.
I cannot run this guy. My father's got a gun at home.
Jeffrey, no!
Sandy, this guy's a killer, I promise you.
The car's alongside them. Sandy looks across at it.
It's Mike! Jeffrey, it's Mike! Oh my God!
Both cars pull up. Mike leaps out, followed by his mates.
Get out of the car! Come on, get out of there! You stole my girl, you bastard. Now I'm gonna kick your ass. Come on! Right here. Right in front of your own stupid house. Get out of here!
Mike, stop it!
Shut up! Just shut up, all right? Nobody's talking to you, all right? Come on.
Mike, look, I don't want to cause any problems.
Dorothy appears, naked.
Who's that, huh? Is that your mother? That's your mother, Jeffrey? No, come here, you ivy shit.
Someone's hurt.
No, I didn't notice.
Dorothy Valance?
Jeffrey runs to Dorothy, whose body is bruised. He takes her in his arms, and she holds on to him tightly. A perplexed and troubled Sandy looks on as Jeffrey helps Dorothy into his car. Sandy gets in beside her. Mike watches awkwardly.
I'm really... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna kill him, man.
We've gotta get her out of here.
Take her to my house. My father can get an ambulance faster than anyone.
His partner won't be there, will he?
No, probably not. Why?
Nothing.
Watch out for Mike. Oh, God. Is that you, Jeffrey?
Yeah, it's me.
Sandy eyes Jeffrey suspiciously as Dorothy clings on to him. Jeffrey drives off.
Dad! Mom!
I'm here, Mom.
Mom!
All right, I'll be right there.
Is Dad home?
No.
You better call him and get an ambulance.
Where have you been? Oh, God, they've hurt him. But Jeffrey! Hold me, oh God!
Sandy backs away from them. Jeffrey glances at Sandy guiltily.
My secret love.
Mrs. Williams enters.
I've called for an ambulance and the police are on their way.
Don't get the police! Stop it! I love you! Love me!
Sandy gasps and her face crumples.
He put his disease in me. Tell me it's all right. Myself to you. Tell me it's all right.
Sandy, please. Sandy.
I'll get a coat to put on her.
Sandy fights back tears.
Jeffrey, what's going on here?
I'll tell you. They have hurt his head.
Who, Dorothy?
Don't. Help him. Promise me you'll help him.
Mrs. Williams brings a coat. Jeffrey takes it and puts it around Dorothy's shoulders as she clings to him.
He put his head in me.
Dorothy nuzzles in to Jeffrey. Sandy weeps.
Ah!
The ambulance arrives. In the Williams hallway, Dorothy lies covered and strapped to a gurney.
Would you like to come with us in the ambulance or take your own car?
I'll be right with you.
She's wheeled out. Jeffrey approaches Sandy sheepishly. Mrs. Williams leaves them together.
I should go.
Go,
Sandy.
His head rocks as she slaps him. Dorothy's put in the ambulance. She shakes off her oxygen mask.
Hold me! I'm falling! I'm falling!
A large black and white photo of a handsome man is reflected in Sandy's bedroom mirror as she talks on the phone.
You lied to me.
Sandy, please, forgive me. I love you.
I forgive you, Jeffrey. I love you. God, I love you. I couldn't watch that. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's okay. Listen, get a hold of your father. Tell him to send the police or to Dorothy's apartment right away.
Tell him to hurry. I'm leaving right now. I have to. I love you.
Oh, God, be careful.
You will, believe me.
Calling from a phone box, Jeffrey hangs up. Sandy drags the receiver slowly down her body as she weeps in her pretty pink and cream room. A yellow city taxi pulls up. Jeffrey gets out of the back. He strides over to Dorothy's building.
Look, this is an emergency. He said someone was hurt and he wants Detective Williams there.
We do not know his whereabouts at this time.
We'll find him!
Jeffrey climbs the shadowy staircase in Dorothy's apartment building, scanning above him as he goes. He enters the corridor outside her flat, takes keys from his jacket pocket, and heads for the door. He pauses briefly outside the door, frowns, then tentatively goes to open it. He opens the door a crack, waits, then enters the apartment cautiously. Looking round the of the very short hallway, he starts and presses himself back against the door. He waits a moment, then slowly looks into the open-plan living room again. Gordon, his head streaming with blood, stands watching a man who's bound and gagged and tied to a chair. Jeffrey shuts the front door and slowly walks into the room. The gagged man has a bandage around his head. Gordon stands still. Wide-eyed, Jeffrey scans about edgily as he moves forward. He stops and looks down at a smashed TV screen. Blood streams from a hole in Gordon's head. Eyes are half closed, and the blood has seeped into his shirt. Jeffrey's eyes move to the gagged man who has a long piece of blue velvet stuffed in his mouth. His head one side, and blood trickles from a wound in the middle of his head. There's a jagged wound where his ear should be.
Get back and stay down.
Gordon's arm shoots out and knocks a lampstand over.
Frank Booth, aisle 26. Lieutenant, we're at Frank's place now. The raid has commenced as scheduled.
There's a police radio in Gordon's pocket.
Stay in place.
Loveless street from your heart.
Williams talks on a car radio. A gun fires out of a window in Frank's building. A running cop stops and rolls on the ground by a car. A pane is smashed out of a window by someone in Frank's building. Jeffrey stands somberly in Dorothy's apartment. He shakes his head as he looks at Gordon and gagged Don.
I'm gonna let them find you on their own.
Then I can have all the love you.
Looking emotional, Jeffrey sighs and turns away to the front door. He walks out into the corridor, which is dark except for occasional dim wall lights. Jeffrey walks a few paces, then stops and looks back. He lowers his eyes and considers glumly before setting off back down the stairway. Hearing a car arrive, he stops and looks down at it. The smart man with the briefcase gets out. Jeffrey moves back into the shadows. The man heads towards the building. Jeffrey sinks down onto a step and has a flashback to the smart man meeting Gordon. He then has a flashback to Gordon with Frank. The smart man begins to climb stairs. Jeffrey stands and edges up the stairs backwards, then turns and hurriedly creeps up a flight. He stops and looks down as the man continues climbing. Jeffrey gasps when his eyes meet those of the man who's now revealed to be wearing a mask. The man's carrying a gun. Jeffrey runs back to Dorothy's apartment door and drops the keys. The man runs up the stairs. Jeffrey lets himself into the apartment, slams the door shut, puts the safety chains on. He takes the radio from Gordon's pocket.
Williams.
Williams. Is that you, Jeff?
It's me. Listen, I'm hiding in Dorothy Valen's apartment. Frank is on his way up here in the well-dressed man's guise. I've got no way out of...
Jeffrey switches it off.
He's got a radio.
Sandy runs along a street.
Jeffrey!
Jeffrey switches Gordon's radio on again.
I'm hiding in the back room. Please hurry.
Jeffrey throws the radio under the bed and runs out of the bedroom. He makes for the closet as the man batters his way into the apartment. Jeffrey watches through the closet door.
Hey, neighbor. You sniffer brain man, you forgot to have a bleep radio!
Frank shouts up the corridor to the bedroom.
Well-dressed fucking man knows where your fucking cute little butt hiding, huh?
He peels off his disguise.
Fuck. Fuck with me, man.
There's a silencer on Frank's gun. He paces and goes over to Don. He rips a long gag from Don's mouth, then steps slowly over to the corridor.
Here I come. Ready or not?
Lockdown in progress.
Frank rushes to his case to turn his radio down.
You fuck! I can hear your fucking radio, you stupid shit! You got about 1 fucking second to live, buddy.
Frank moves up the corridor. Frank scraped the material over the barrel of his gun and inhales gas as he enters Dorothy's bedroom.
Pretty, pretty.
Jeffrey darts out of the closet briefly to take Gordon's gun.
The fuck! Where are you? Where are you?
Now carrying Dorothy over his arm, Frank frantically searches the other bedroom and the bathroom at the end of the corridor. He turns and looks straight along towards the closet. He cocks his gun and runs back into the living room. He fires at the TV set. He aims at Gordon, who's dead on his feet. Gordon drops to the floor. Ignoring Don, Frank goes to look behind a kitchen counter, which divides room and kitchen. Frank stares down for a long moment, then moves slowly back into the living room. Frank looks over towards the closet, smiles, and shakes his head as he walks towards it. He inhales more gas. Jeffrey aims his gun. Frank stands before the closet and inhales greedily. Smiling, Frank opens the closet door. Blood spurts as Jeffrey shoots Frank smack in the middle of the forehead. Sandy arrives.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Williams bursts in, aiming his gun. He sweeps it around, then points it at the closet.
It's all right, Jeffrey.
William slowly lowers his gun. Jeffrey lowers his gun and looks down at Frank, spread-eagled on his back, his blood and brain spilled on the carpet. Two bulbs on the lit standard lamp glow more strongly and go out. Lights of ambulances and police cars flash in the darkness outside Dorothy's apartment building. In the corridor at the apartment, Sandy and Jeffrey stand close together. Her fingertips rest on his neck, he has his hand on her waist. They move into a tender kiss. They hug tightly. Their images flare into bright whiteness, which then becomes a fleshy pink. The camera slowly pulls back to reveal the inner contours of an ear. It's Jeffrey's ear as he sleeps. His eyes flicker. And he wakes. Stretched out on a sun lounger in the Beaumont's garden, he stares up at a robin, which is perched on a branch. Jeffrey smiles pensively. Jeffrey slowly gets up off the sun lounger and walks towards the house. He pauses and looks down in another section of the garden.
Jeff.
His dad's with Williams.
Look.
In the kitchen, Aunt Bob points to the robin which is on the edge.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Come over here and look at this.
His mum's with Mrs. Williams. The robin.
Yes, on the side. Maybe a robin here.
There's a bug in its beak.
Never read a book.
Sandy and Jeffrey giggle.
Strange, isn't it?
Jeffrey nods. Barbara is transfixed by the bird. Yellow tulips by the white picket fence. Fire engine rolls past Aunt's house. Friendly looking fireman on the footplate leaves and red roses sway gently by the picket fence. Blonde-haired boy wears the nickel hat with a propeller on the top. Arms stretched out to his sides, he pretends to be a plane and steps towards a smiling Dorothy. On a bench in Sunderland, she picks the boy up and hugs him gently. Dorothy's blissful smile slowly fades to a sad, pensive expression. As she holds the boy to her.
And I sit and see blue velvet through my tears.
Green leaves above her blur and give way to bright blue sky. Blue velvet material billows. Audio description, Helen Vasey.